Good afternoon. Happy Wednesday. It is Wednesday, February the 3rd, 2021. I am Hank Jones. You are listening to Hank Jones Polysports on Global Patriot Radio, part of Blog Talk Radio Network. Every Wednesday at 5:30, sometimes 6, but usually 5:30. And we talk politics, we talk sports, because I am Hank Jones, and this is Hank Jones Polysports. Hey, if you want to listen to the show, of course, you can just come in online and listen that way. Or you can call. That's the best way, because then you can hit 1 if you want. And that number is 319-527-6706. And again, the good thing about that is if you really want to talk, then you just hit 1, and next thing you know, I'm right there. You can also, you know, always log in, come to the live module, or sometimes I send out a link. If you look for me on Twitter, I will have a link there every Wednesday. Sometimes I do it on Facebook, sometimes I don't, but Twitter at H Polysports. You'll see my link. I link the direct link to the show. Want to welcome Mrs. Hank to Electric Hankland Studios, although she's over actually in Hank Haven, the adjunct, the Western adjunct to the studio. Welcome a couple people in the on the phones. And, of course, Indy Hawk KB is in the chat room. He's listening in, or as Henry Hill would say in Goodfellas, just listening. We have other shows on Blog Talk Radio's Global Patriot Radio Network. Every Monday, 6 o'clock, Vito Esposito and Big Al, Mamma Mia No Sharia. You can guess what they talk about. Every Tuesday, Eric brings you Radio Free Kafiristan, 6 o'clock Eastern. You can kind of guess what Eric talks about. Vito and Al bring you a lot of just news of where Sharia is being, where they're trying to implement it, stuff that Hamas and CARE do to try and sway sentiment and the lobbying that they do to get preferential treatment and try to implement Sharia law throughout our country. Eric talks more comparison and contrasting with Christianity and Judaism a little bit and Islam. Wednesdays, of course, we just talk politics and sports, nothing deep, just fun stuff. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Paul goes all over the globe to bring you stories of things that are going on. And Paul's really hooked in, has a lot of contacts, has some great guests on. Fridays, Andrew Herod's in at 1 o'clock Eastern with Conservative Casual Friday, a.k.a. Islam in Focus. Saturday nights, Minister Osama Dakduk and the Beautiful Christie with Revealing the Truth About Islam. And boy, do they reveal the truth about Islam. Sundays, Eric's back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. That's at 3 p.m. Eastern. That one you have to download an app. That one they don't want just free for all coming in. Can't have it. Cannot have it. So that's what happens each day of the week on Blog Talk Radio's Global Patriot Radio Network. And of course, every Wednesday, it's me, Hank Jones, with Polysports. Oh, let's see. Well, that was the Moody Blues you hear. I play that every week because it kind of reminds me of something you'd hear on the BBC. And they are a British group, nominally, I guess you'd say. And so it's the introduction to the song called Peak Hour. That actually goes into a, like a lot of that album, Days of Future Past, it had Nights in White Satin and Tuesday Afternoon. A lot of that, it starts off with this orchestral music because they played it with the London Philharmonic, I believe. And then they go into regular rock and roll type stuff. But I like the beginning of that. It makes me sound classy, like I've got some kind of class operation. And with Mrs. Hank here in Hank Haven, I kind of do. Hey, we had some, I talked about last week at the end of the show, Cloris Leachman passed away at the age of 94. She was an Oscar winner, an Emmy winner, a Golden Globe winner. She was most famous for two roles. One, Phyllis, her character on Mary Tyler Moore before getting its own spinoff. And then Young Frankenstein, where she played Frau Blücher, which elicited the response of the horses. Actually, though, it was her somewhat understated role in the Last Picture Show that won her the Oscar. She plays the wife of a school teacher coach who is, I guess, secretly gay. You never actually see it come out that way, but it's kind of implied. And so she ends up having an affair with the character played by Timothy Bottoms. His character's name is Sonny. She won Best Supporting Actress, and that film also won a Best Supporting Actor for Ben Johnson. That film is a classic, by the way. Much as Peter Bogdanovich is a weird dude, it is a classic film. It was also the first film for Sam Bottoms, Timothy's younger brother, and for Sybil Shepherd. Anyway, Cloris Leachman was born in Des Moines, or as Nigel Tufnell and David St. Hubbins would say, Des Moines. She said she knew when she got into theater that she knew she needed to leave Des Moines. Hey, look, I don't mean to knock on my adopted home state, but I get it. I mean, Des Moines is not the place to cut out your Hollywood career, per se. She ended up going to college at Northwestern, so she stayed in the Big Ten at least. Anyway, she passed away last Wednesday. She was 94, but that was the day my daughter was 30 something, just over 30, let's put it that way. The next day, we lost another icon, Cicely Tyson, passed away at the age of 96. She won 3 Emmys, a Tony, a Screen Actors Guild, along with an honorary Oscar. Frankly, she should have won an Oscar for the movie Sounder. The Oscar that year went to Liza Minnelli for Cabaret, which wasn't wholly undeserved, by the way, but I just think Cicely Tyson's performance was, in my humble opinion, one for the ages. I loved that movie when I was a kid, and I thought she was incredible. She had a heartbreaking role, kind of, I would say, in 2011 movie, The Help. She sort of sent out to pasture because she's getting old and she's not able to, quote, be a good servant as she was, and kind of sad. And then she was the anguished mother of LeVar Burton, a.k.a. Kunta Kinte, in the awesome miniseries Roots. You can see that right now on various networks, by the way. There's networks and apps as part of Black History Month. Great miniseries. Hate to sound like I'm not pandering here, but it really did show what slavery was like and what blacks went through at that time. Unfortunately, certain people have tried to make us regress to that time and pretend that they care. It's sad. She also played Coretta Scott King, opposite Paul Winfield, also, who she also played with in Sounder, opposite Paul Winfield in the 1978 miniseries aptly titled King. She was active basically right up until her death. Her memoir, Just As I Am, was published 2 days before she died. And to add to all that, she was married to one of the kings of cool, if you will, legendary jazz trumpeter Miles Davis. And he said that she was, although they divorced later, she was instrumental, he said, in helping him kick his cocaine habit. Anyway, she passed away last Thursday. She was 96. Oh, and then the next day, we lost guitarist and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer with the Animals, Hilton Valentine. He was 77. And then the same day, legendary, and I say legendary with strong emphasis, John Chaney, Temple head coach, head basketball coach. He coached there for, I believe, almost 50 years. And he passed away of brief illness, but he was 89. So it wasn't like, it wasn't quote unquote unexpected or shocking from an age perspective. But, he was a pretty vital and energetic guy, at least on the sidelines. So to hear that John Chaney's passed away is kind of, wow. And Saturday, it got a little weird. We lost, among others, Scottish transgender singer-songwriter Sophie at the age of 30. She died from a fall in Athens, Greece, while climbing up to get a better view of a lunar event. And yeah, predictably, the entertainment world jumped all over the news with the effusive praise reserved for such times. Words and phrases like light and angel, along with the ubiquitous gone too soon and too good for this world. They appeared on pretty much every social media site ever invented that hasn't been shut down by big left or big tech. That same day, the music world also lost rapper Double K of the group People Under the Stairs. Now, I'd never heard of either Sophie or Double K before this. But evidently merely being a black rapper who doesn't have his own Wikipedia page evidently made his death less meaningful than a transgender Scottish electropop personality who turned out music that sounded no different than pop artist. I finally had to look it up. Sophie was born a male and is a transgender woman. They do this stuff with eliminating the pronouns or referring to them and they instead of he or she. And so you just don't even know whether, and people say, well, is that important? Well, it is to me. I'm sorry. It is. So yeah, if they're not even going to tell us, then why should I care? Monday, big blow. Dustin Diamond, better known to us all as Screech, the lovable geek from the legendary syndicated kids and teen series Saved by the Bell. He had a kind of a bumpy road after that, after Saved by the Bell, along with numerous spinoffs and sequels and one-off movies. After that all came to an end. He had an arrest or two. He rallied for a bit. He had a gig on Celebrity Boxing 2 where he pummeled Ron Palillo, a.k.a. Arnold Horshack from Cotter. I actually watched that, Celebrity Boxing 2. I watched that whole episode. It was actually pretty funny. That also had it was Darva Conger. You don't know who she is because she was on that show, Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire? I looked this up. She beat Nadia Comaneci, some other Olympian. But Darva Conger won that one. And then Joey Buttafuoco beat China. Yeah. Dustin Diamond was also on Celebrity, UK's Celebrity Big Brother, and Hulk Hogan's Celebrity Wrestling. He was eliminated from both, never made it to the finals of either show. Yeah, he was apparently diagnosed with small cell carcinoma in the lung back on January 14th. He did one round of chemotherapy before passing away Monday in Florida at the age of 44. Having witnessed something similar with my father, my guess is that it had already metastasized. And so what happened is the post-chemo white cell booster basically just overwhelms the body. That's what happens. Anyway, rest in peace, Screech. I mean, he was on Celebrity Fit Club, too. That was one I watched. That was a season where they're trying to see who loses the most weight and team activities. He got into it with the host and stuff, and he was basically a jerk through the whole thing, but he was obviously a troubled dude, you know? I mean, it's no wonder. Child stars, I mean, it's going to happen. How many of them turn out normal? And then getting back to actual icons, Hal Holbrook. He actually passed away January 23rd, but it was announced yesterday. He was 95. He was a multi-Emmy winner. He won a Tony for a stage portrayal of Mark Twain. And if you've not seen it, Google it. You'll find it somewhere. He perfected it over a period, really, of 50 years. He also, of course, he was Deep Throat in All the President's Men. He was the behind-the-scenes stager of that fake Mars mission by NASA in Capricorn 1. He had a memorable supporting role in Wall Street. If you remember, if anybody who remembers Wall Street. He was also in The Firm. That one's grown on me over the years. The Firm is he's the managing partner of the mob-owned law firm in Memphis. It's grown on me despite the fact that it has some quasi-disturbing differences from the John Grisham novel that it was based on. But like his character in Wall Street said, good things sometimes take time. That's basically what happened. Took time, and I finally started to like it. It's not as good as the book. I'm not saying that. But, you know, he was an icon. He definitely was truly an icon. So, today's National Signing Day in college football. It's actually not. Hawkeye Mike is sending me a bunch of texts of Cloris Leachman and lines from the movie Young Frankenstein. I'm not going to go through them all, but they were classics. Let's just say that. Welcome, Vito. Vito's in the chat room as well. Vito, you missed the news on Screech. Screech passed away. Anyway, Hal Holbrook, great, great actor. Just an all-around good guy. He was likable. Even when he was playing guys that weren't so likable, it's hard not to like the guy. He was a good actor. He was good at his craft. He wasn't flamboyant. He didn't play flamboyant roles per se, but, you know, he was distinctive. Let's put it that way. Some sports news. LeJuan James, I know his name's LeBron, but his real name's LeJuan, given his penchant for the the Chinese currency that he so dearly loves because of all his investment overseas there, and why he doesn't like it when Americans stick up for Hong Kong or Taiwan. Anyway, there are four fans the other night were ejected from a game in Atlanta. They evidently got into it with him, a verbal spat, as ESPN put it. Four fans got kicked out. Now, the wife of one of them, Juliana Carlos, her husband Chris, evidently exchanged words with LaJuan, which prompted the ejection. And she posted a video on Instagram, showed some of the scene, said, talked about what she said, said, don't talk to my husband. She said, shut the F up. Don't talk to my husband like that. Basically, LaJuan afterwards, they, of course, the media talked with LaJuan. They haven't reached out to the Carloses, but he says he wasn't fazed by the incident. And he said he felt like an ejection was unnecessary. But then at the end of the day, he said, at the end of the day, I'm happy fans are back in the building. I miss that interaction. I need that interaction. We as players need that interaction. I don't feel like it was warranted to be kicked out. He did say that alcohol could have been a factor, however. Yeah, nothing like holding back with Juan. They might have had a couple drinks, maybe. And they could have probably kept it going during the game, and the game wouldn't have been about the game no more. So I think the referees did what they had to do. Which side of the mouth? Okay, the question is, which side of the mouth did each of those statements come from? James also said Chris Carlos went, quote, out of bounds with whatever he directed at him. I guess he said something that rubbed the big dog the wrong way, added Lakers center Montrezl Harrell. Of course, people were talking about out about how the woman, Juliana Carlos, didn't have her mask on. Yeah, Vito's right. LaJuan will blame white nationalism for this. They said the Hawks are opening an investigation. There will be no ban included. She did, Ms. Carlos did issue a statement for losing her cool and removing her mask in the heat of the moment. When we're coming to that, folks, yeah, so much for free speech. So that's what's going on in the NBA. That's more than I really want to talk about them. But, hey, college basketball, Gonzaga and Baylor, number 1 and 2, what's new? Baylor won last night, so they're still going to hold on to that. Oklahoma made a huge move. They got up to number 9. They jumped, I think, 9 or 10 spots, maybe 12 spots to number 9. They promptly went out and lost Monday night, but hey, they gave it a good run. They moved up 15 spots. And the thing is, they had won 3 games against top 10 teams. So that's pretty, yeah, that's pretty notable. Or maybe top 20 teams. No, top 10 teams. But they go out and lose on Monday. Couldn't deal with success. Hawkeyes are at number 8, dropped only a spot. Michigan is 4th, Ohio State 7th. We got them tomorrow night. The Hawks got back in the win column last night, Michigan State. It wasn't pretty, but it was a win. And as Indy Hawk KB points out, if you got 3 masks, wear them if you got them. Fraudy or falsely, whatever you want to call them. I have a couple of family members that are listening, and one of whom is I believe if she hasn't met falsely, her spouse has met him and said he's kind of a nice guy. I have a hard time believing that. I think he's I'm not a big fan. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, so the Hawks, the Drake Bulldogs are back in the top 25. They had 20 wins last year before the pandemic canceled the season. They were last ranked in the 2007 and 2008 poll. If you remember, they lost in the first round that year as a 4 seed to Davidson. That was a Steph Curry team that went farther than anyone ever would have expected. So, yeah. Indy Hawk. Duke back in the top 25. Oh, no, it's Drake. Yeah, Drake. So Drake's back in. That's good to hear. Good to see. Made the Final Four way back when. Then they had some good years with Lewis Lloyd, but never have gotten back. And then in the year with Keno Davis, where they had a 4th seed and then didn't get it done Yeah, Andy points out another week of no Duke, Kentucky, or North Carolina in the top 25. I love saying that. I really do. It's really cool to say it. A little golf controversy. Wish Vito was on the phone. I would have him call in about this, but he's just in the chat room, so I don't want to. Patrick Reed won the Farmers Insurance Open by 5 shots last weekend. There was a little bit of controversy. He had a Saturday on the par 4 10th hole. He hit a 190-yard shot out of a bunker. And a TV replay showed the ball bounced once before settling into the rough. Without waiting for an official, Reed picked up the ball to see if it was embedded. He told the official that no one in his group nor a nearby volunteer saw it bounce. He was awarded a free drop and saved a par at around a 70. Vito says it's a bit overblown. Considering the five-shot victory, I would kind of agree. Anyway, yeah, they got into it. They went back and forth. Supposedly the officials and his playing partner said, hey, all looks fine. But whatever. PGA Tour said it was properly handled. So, you know, whatever. He had some history before of some kind of controversy. I forgot what it was, but Vito could say it. I'll look for Vito's to pipe in what his other controversy might have been. But yeah, so he wins the tournament by 5 shots. I know that's not technically a landslide. He didn't lap the field, not like when Tiger shot like 47 under par better than everyone else. But yeah, so he big win, good win. Evidently, and Vito says, yes, he has a history of cheating. Okay. Evidently, Scott Erickson, former Major League Baseball pitcher, has been charged in connection with a September 29th hit and run. He was drag racing. I don't know if it was drag racing per se. He was racing with a woman named Rebecca Grossman. And then she struck and killed an 11-year-old and his younger 8-year-old brother in Westlake Village, which is a suburb of about north of downtown L.A. They were crossing the street in a marked crosswalk with their parents. Anyway, Grossman continued driving. She eventually stopped about a quarter mile from the scene. She pleaded not guilty to charges of murder, vehicular manslaughter with gross negligence, and hit-and-run driving resulting in death. Maximum penalty of 34 years to life. She's a philanthropist with the Grossman Byrne Foundation. She's free on $2 million bail. Anyway, Erickson was charged. He played in the minors from 1991 to 2006. He has been charged with one misdemeanor count of reckless driving. And obviously, he's not the one that hit the boys. Tragic story, but he was not the one that hit, so it's kind of hard to, you know, say this guy should be charged with murder, I guess. Let's see, college football news. Like I said, today's National Signing Day. No real surprises that I have seen. I kind of looked. There were no late, you know, there were no sudden turns, at least in, was it related to the Big Ten or the Iowa Hawkeyes? There's always something. There's always somebody that flips, you know, based on how much money they get from a different school, but that's pretty much, you know, just standard because there's already the early signing period. So this isn't really like the original National Signing Day. Also in college football, the Florida Gators promoted Garrick McGee from analyst to the position of quarterbacks coach Friday, filling a vacancy. Brian Johnson left for the Eagles. McGee was behind the scenes. He had a 2-year stint at Missouri before that. He was a coach at Alabama, Birmingham. He's pretty much bounced all over the place. He's been at Illinois, Louisville, UAB, Arkansas, Northwestern, UNLV, Toledo, and Northern Iowa. So, yeah, he's pretty much been everywhere. Indy Hawk KB points out this is Alabama's highest signed recruiting class. Oh, I mean, no, that's not what. It's their highest ranked recruiting class. I think it's their highest paid recruiting class, is what he meant to say. That's actually what happened. It's their highest paid recruiting class, but Indy Hawk's a nice, reputable guy. He doesn't slander and libel like I do. So Meanwhile, Will Muschamp, former Florida coach and then former South Carolina coach, he's now joined Georgia as an analyst. So South Carolina is not going to have any easier road there. And then it says Bama could be his best, Saban's best, and Oregon has moved up to 5. Now, you got to take – I mean, it's one thing to rank teams each week. It's quite another when you start ranking recruiting classes. I mean, you're talking about 17- and 18-year-olds, and you just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's just not – I just don't get why they do it. It's basically – they base it off of the offers that a guy has gotten. But, you know, Kirk Ferentz at Iowa has always had a history of coming in late on people or, you know, unsung, unheralded guys. T.J. Hockenson, George Kittle. George Kittle was a little more respected, but T.J. Hockenson, you know, now making a big money, first-round draft choice. George Kittle, Josie Jewell, Bob Sanders, former NFL Defensive Player of the Year, who, by the way, had really no other big offers other than Iowa. I mean, he's got a bunch of guys that were destined for the Mid-America or wherever, and he's pulled them in late and turned them into stars. So, anyway, Minnesota lost a guy to Oregon, and that's what got Oregon up to 5th. Number 46 commit, Rajon Davis is committed to USC. Another guy for Ole Miss, the number 45 ranked recruit, Tywan Malone, never met Lane Kiffin during his recruiting cycle, but Kiffin signed him. Go figure. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We know. Let's just not even get into it. Tell you what, though, Mike Norvell at Florida State pulled in a decent class, but he's also pulled in some big transfers. Mackenzie Milton. Running back DJ Williams, safety Jamie Robinson. Those are some guys that were high-profile players at other schools. So look out. I think Mike Norvell may indeed turn it around. Just not maybe not as fast as Florida State fans want, but I think he's going to turn it around. I really do. Okay, let's get to some politics because I'm going to actually take a 2 or 3 minute break today. And then when I come back, I've got it's not a sad story. There's a couple semi-sad stories. And then if Brother Tommy's still awake, he's going to come in with some sobering facts about it as well. Anyway, so politics, SNL, Saturday Night Live is under fire for a sketch. They did Big Left is mad at them. I'm using Big Left now. I mean, I'll sometimes say Left DNC Media Industrial Complex. But you hear about big tech and big this, big me. It's just easier to say big left. It really is. So anyway, Big Left felt this was noteworthy. Now, rarely are SNL sketches noteworthy for good reasons anymore. It was part of Weekend Update. No, it wasn't the one where they made fun of white people or Rand Paul or Marjorie Taylor Greene. No, it wasn't. It was from Michael Che's comment about the executive order signed by AP Biden. Again, AP means alleged president for those who are new to my terminology. So AP Biden rescinded an executive order from President Trump. As I said, President Trump is sitting around watching this guy rescind executive orders because AP Biden hasn't written one himself. So he rescinded the one about transgender serving in the military. And Michael Che humorously said, "The good news is that the ban has been rescinded. The bad news is that it's called Don't Ask, Don't Talk," which is kind of a play on the former Clinton policy regarding homosexuals in the military, which was called Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, you know, frankly, folks, that's funny. Don't Ask, Don't Talk for that. That's funny as hell. I'm sorry. That's funny. Now, apparently whites and conservatives shall forever remain fair game, however, but surprisingly, one transgender comedian, in addition to the 27 transgender people that said this is terrible, one pointed out that as a comedian, one dislikes the idea of constantly worrying about censorship and political correctness. While, of course, a transgender member of the Army said that if there were proper representation in the writer's room, i.e. if they just forced diversity into every nook and cranny of society, the joke wouldn't have gotten past the censors. This is it, folks. It's no longer allowed to be funny or try to be funny or even make commentary that offends anyone from or in any category, classification, or subgroup of people. There is no longer any freedom of speech. When a person has to feel guarded about everything he or she says, and those are the pronouns we will use on this show, he or she. Look, while offensive or unfeeling things can be unfortunate for some, again, the right of free speech as part of the Bill of Rights is sacrosanct. There's no line in the sand on that. Look, there are the exceptions. There are those things like yelling fire in a crowded theater or willful things that fall under libel or slander or defamation of character. But those are all those last ones, fire in a crowded theater, no. But the last, so slander, libel, and defamation of character are all civil penalties. The government, the state's attorney doesn't walk in and sue you or arrest you. Doesn't bring in the sheriff to arrest you for libel or slander. Those are civil penalties. And frankly, when SNL goes after individuals in such a way, it's normally, they go after conservatives or Republicans. It's normally them that are attacked. And Big Left never speaks out when that happens anyway. But we're talking about a group or a population here, people. We're not talking about an individual. We're talking about a group or a population. And, you know, if said group is always going to complain or feel hurt, maybe we ought to be asking ourselves why such a group, any group, is so hypersensitive. Then we also ought to look at how such groups have treated other groups. You know, I mean, when one group ranks on quote unquote the man, then we find out that that group has treated other groups the way they feel they're being treated, you know, maybe we need to look at how they, if they are organizations, actually operate or whether or not they profit off victimhood. You know, benefiting by suppressing the rights of others is just as bad, if not much worse, than the oppression that some of these groups claim they suffer. Enough about that. Big Left. It's that. We're just kind of, yeah, Indy Hawk says it. It's simple and inclusive. Folks, I don't want to hear, we're not going to anymore hear big media, big tech. It's Big Left. It simplifies it. It just answers it easily. Big Left. Somber here. Two FBI agents were killed and another three were injured in a shootout yesterday in Sunrise, Florida. That's just outside of Lauderdale, Fort Lauderdale. The agents were serving a warrant in a child exploitation case. The suspect started shooting and then barricaded himself inside a unit at the Water Terrace apartment complex. So they haven't identified, at least publicly, the suspect. He apparently died of a self-inflicted gunshot. AP Biden said, and I quote, "My heart aches for the families. To put their lives on the line, it's a hell of a price to pay." Gee, doesn't that just sound all presidential and whatnot? That may just be, in less than 2 weeks of occupying the Oval Office, the most underwhelming, dense, and unpresidential thing to ever come out of that office. And good God, people were upset over President Trump's tweets. They called him unpresidential. I can't, literally, I cannot think of anything AP Biden could have said that would sound more flippant, casual, uncaring, and unpresidential than that. Here, I thought the FBI was the agency that had issues. Well, actually, it still does have some issues. But if this is what we can expect before the eventual soft coup, when AVP Harris takes over, all I can say is, come on, man! Get somebody at least who pretends to really care. I mean, literally, it's a hell of a price to pay. What on God's green earth? Oh, no, forget it. We're not even. He's a lunatic. He's feeble-minded. But literally, that's what he says in the Oval Office to the Oval Office press corps. God. It appears that Dems and Republicans have reached a power-sharing agreement in the Senate. Basically, it means this. This is what it means. It means the Democrats have the gavels at each of the committees. And then Republicans have to pretend to be indignant when the Democrats break any and all promises that they make. One additional stipulation, which probably was what put this over the top, I believe Republicans are also allowing Democrats to lie, whether it be to the media, the public, or the Senate, Republicans, without having to cross their fingers behind their collective. I believe that's the other stipulation. Way to go, Mitch, bitch. You may hear me refer to the Epoch Times on this show. The Epoch Times, epics being spelled E-P-O-C-H, as I've said before. It doesn't mean like, hey, man, it was epic. It's epic, the beginning of an era. The Epoch Times, I've spoken on this show about them. The reason for that is deceptively simple. It's truthful news, conservative viewpoints, and pro-American journalism. Nothing more than that, folks. Anyway, the publication, which I read almost exclusively online, although I also get a monthly paper, is pretty cheap. I subscribe. It's cheap. I urge you to do the same. Now, this is not a pitch. I'm not being paid. The reason, aside from being an excellent and insightful news source, well, I'll tell you why. YouTube just recently demonetized their YouTube platform. YouTube did it without warning and without any explanation. Now it's not the first time Big Left has done this sort of thing. Facebook stopped their ability to advertise subscriptions on its platform. Look, this is flat out wrong. It's obviously anti-conservative bias, and it's a backdoor attempt to shut them completely down by simply choking off any way for this publisher to sustain itself in a normal, everyday business fashion. Now, look, as a person who has been in business long enough to have seen all types and forms of advertising, what this would be like, for those of you that are old enough to remember, this would be like the equivalent in the 1970s or 1980s or 1990s of being refused a listing in the yellow pages or even the white pages. It's akin to something Dell Computers did. They canceled an order from a gun shop without notifying them beforehand. So when that gun shop tried to go live, they had no computer network. They couldn't process orders. They couldn't process sales. They literally just absolutely locked them out. That's what this has done. But it goes further. And frankly, I hope conservatives and Republicans and other government types who understand this will actually wake up and take notice and do something. Now, look, how does it go further? Well, think about this. If big left companies are systematically working together on for-profit public platforms to bar certain businesses or groups from practicing their trade, what's that called? What's that called? Remember, we heard about it in the NFL in the last year or two. What's that called? It's called collusion. If they're banding together, it's called collusion. Mrs. Hank says we all have it, quoting the progressive. Wait, I'm sounding like that guy on progressive commercials, she thinks. Okay. Anyway, and when they block competitors, and think about this, Apple, YouTube, Facebook, all of them are involved in media. So when they're doing this to block competitors, what's that called? I'll tell you what it's called. It's called antitrust. Anyone who remembers the old Bell system, which was essentially AT&T and the regional Bell operating committees, they got split up. Now, they were allowed to rejoin in some fashion down the road. But when you say that, what the FCC and other regulators did do was they allowed complete opening of those networks. Manufacturers and developers began making and developing platforms that were completely open network architecture. Essentially, building out networks became less expensive for people to get into business. And so for a while, you had market expansion across the communications industry. Remember when you had 57 different cell carriers? Mrs. Hank is rocking the house, that's for sure. She's coming in here to tell me I talk like the guy in Progressive. Anyway, you had market expansion across the communications industry. As the market expands, of course, it saturates, and then it contracts for a while. People, one starts buying up the other. It's a cyclical ebb and flow. It happens all the time. What we are seeing now in the area of digital communications is outright hindrance by those that own the digital networks, the gateways, as it were. Look, Amazon closed their network to Parler. Google and Apple deleted the Parler app. You couldn't go and add the Parler app. Microsoft at one point, remember this? They wouldn't allow Netscape's browser to be installed on any computer with a Windows operating system. Yeah, they got smacked down for a while. Think about this. How, any of you use your Netscape browser lately? Yeah, exactly. In short, I humbly request that you do two things. One, I'm asking you to subscribe to the Epoc Times. Go to theepoctimes.com. Do it. Can't, or if you don't want to or whatever, get story. Subscribe to their email blast. It'll ask you to subscribe, but you don't have to. But think about it. The other thing I ask you to do, contact your representatives and your senators. Ask them why they're not pursuing this kind of collusion and antitrust. You know, it's one thing for big left to silence individuals, but when they own the platforms, and often with government subsidy or incentives, they kind of have an obligation to conduct business openly and honestly, not to act as arbiters of whatever segment of society they choose. So yeah, please talk to your senators and your representatives. Ask them point blank, why are you supporting this? Or why are you not speaking up against this? This isn't just about conservative bias or anti-conservative bias. This is about literally groups you're talking about in the companies I've named, companies that control the pipes, i.e. companies like Amazon. They control an internet backbone. Google, same deal, especially with YouTube as an example, but also Google servers. Apple, Google with apps, not allowing apps to be loaded. Talk to them. Ask them why they're allowing this. Anyway, okay, the latest on Dominion. You know who Dominion is? That above board nonpartisan voting machine manufacturer. Yeah, that Dominion. Anyway, first, they continue to file lawsuits against any and all attorneys who they claim besmirched them. For some reason, they have settled on the amount of $1.3 billion in their claims. So far, high-profile ones, Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani are the high-profile targets, each being sued for $1.3 billion. Again, I don't know. Their claim is that statements and proceedings brought by the two attorneys has resulted in irreparable harm to the business because, quote, of how fervently millions of people believe it. I'd say they're pretty much out of luck on that, given that, quote, given this, for instance, government, and I use that in terms of quotes, government says it doesn't believe it. Courts threw it out. Legislative bodies didn't give it any credence for whatever reason. That's a different form of corruption. I'm just talking about Dominion's lawsuit. But think about this. If the company loses all kinds of business in subsequent election cycles, doesn't that tell us that the people who count the most, i.e. elections officials themselves, they're telling us, hey, America, okay, you caught us last time. We're going with a different crooked company from here on out. In Michigan, a former Dominion employee is running for state office. Her platform will hit hard on the issue of election integrity. Now, it's kind of hard to believe that a former employee would do that when if the machines have no problems. In Pennsylvania, they're going a little bit of a different tack. The governor has basically kicked Secretary of State Kathy Buchvar to the curb. The alleged reason is that she didn't properly file notice on a ballot item that resulted in the failure to pass an amendment that would have extended the statute of limitations for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to file claims. The oddity there, of course, is that the governor and the local elections honchos had no problem extending voting deadlines outside the legislative scope, registration deadlines, again, outside the legislative scopes, mail-in balloting and deadlines outside the scope, and placing ballot boxes in strategic areas before and after the election. Now, suddenly, the state screws up, and they suddenly want to observe the law? That was this week's update on the trustworthiness of Dominion voting systems and the people who manipulate them. Hey, we got some good news, sort of. Since January, Americans have been, according to the FBI, buying guns at, quote, a blistering pace, unquote. Mark Olivia, he's the director of public affairs at the National Shooting Sports Foundation. He attributes it, quite correctly, of course, to fears of AP Biden and the Dems going after firearms and ammo manufacturers at a minimum, if not after firearms owners themselves, via a coordinated illegal review of previous background check records. Yeah, according to the FBI's National Instant Criminal Background Check database, there were 4.3 million checks initiated in January, the highest on record. Other ways that AP Biden has already attacked firearms owners, he's freezed publication. Think about this. He has freezed publication of the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency's Fair Access Banking Rule. You know what that means? It means if a bank or anybody in that industry wants to stop doing business, loaning money, holding deposits for a firearms manufacturer, well, with no Fair Access Banking Rule published, they could do it. Now, you think that's going to rule go across the board? Think Antifa is going to have to worry about that? Black Lives Matter? AFL-CIO? Teamsters? Any of those? He's also promised to repeal the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, tighten restrictions on gun licenses, and ban AR-15-style rifles. God, I could do a whole show on just that subject, the AR-15. I literally could. I could do a whole show on it. That's part of the bad news. The other part is that we will no doubt see runs on certain types of ammo. If you have a 9mm, get out there and buy it now because you ain't going to find it starting next week. We'll probably see runs on ammo, like I said. 22 ammo will always be out there, but shotgun ammo will go up in price. You won't see a run on it. You won't see – if you have a 12-gauge like me, you're not going to have a problem finding it. What you're going to have is you're going to have increased prices. We'll also see attempts to exorbitantly tax ammo the way they've taxed tobacco. Vito and I have already talked about that. He sent me stuff about that, that ammo taxes. So we're going to see that. So, yeah, AP Biden going after our Second Amendment, like he said he would. That's one promise he's kept. You know, a lot of the left is not happy with him or the more militant because he is not suddenly pushing all the items and all the buttons in the latest COVID relief bill. We're going to get to that a little bit after the break. Just to show that someone in the GOP still has two functioning testicles, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is proposing a state law that would fine big left tech companies who deplatform political candidates. This is from WFLA out of Tampa. Basically this, he's saying he's open. It's to combat censorship of right-wing political candidates. He says what began as a group of upstart technology companies from the West Coast has since transformed into an industry of monopoly communications platforms that monitor, influence, and control the flow of information in our country and among our citizens. He said big tech is becoming more like Big Brother with each passing day. Hence big left. You just incorporate all the things. He said it used to be that consumers were trusted to make their own decisions about what information to consume, about which leaders to follow, and about which news to watch. Now those decisions are increasingly made by nameless, faceless boards of censors. He mentioned that when 2.8 million Americans downloaded Parler, it was canceled by Amazon, Google, and Apple. What about the 88 million Americans who chose to follow Donald Trump on Twitter? Sorry, content moderators on Twitter pulled that plug. Same with Facebook. He said they cannot let big left manipulate news content and design algorithms to give an upper hand to the candidates of their choice. He said that is why in Florida we are going to take aim at those companies and pull back the veil and make sure they don't continue to find loopholes and gray areas to live above the law. Under the proposal, if a technology company deplatforms a candidate for elected office in Florida during an election, that company will face a daily fine of $100,000 until the candidate's access to the platform is fully restored. He said, if they promote a candidate for office against another, the value of that free promotion must be recorded as a political campaign contribution. I see where he's going with that, and it's brilliant. Like I said, that's proof. Ron DeSantis is proof that there is at least one person in the GOP who still has two fully functioning testicles. Bravo, Governor DeSantis. Meanwhile, out of Ohio, Marcy Kaptur. Now, again, this is an article from the Epoch Times. Marcy Kaptur is a Democrat from Ohio, and she says she's in a working class district. She says she feels increasingly alienated in the Democratic Party. She is the longest serving woman in Congress, and she told The Hill in a recent interview that she struggles with a growing sense of this. She says, while she fights for the interests of her largely working class Midwest constituents, the Democrat Party is increasingly dominated by representatives from wealthy, often coastal districts. They just can't understand, she said. They can't understand a family that sticks together because that's what they have. Their loved ones are what they have. Their little town, their home, as humble as it is, that's what they have. She told the outlet that she worries that the voices of congressional Democrats that represent wealthy districts are increasingly drowning out those who represent heartland districts. She said, it's very hard for regions like mine, which have had great economic attrition, to get fair standing, in my opinion. Several of my colleagues who are in the top ranks have said to me, you know, we don't understand your part of the country. And they're very genuine, she said. They don't understand when they have something they haven't been a part of. She noted, 19 out of 20 of the nation's wealthiest districts are represented by Democrats. Let that sink in. The idea that Democrats are losing touch with their blue-collar roots and are increasingly turning into the party of elites while Republicans are on track to becoming a multi-ethnic working-class coalition was often repeated in the wake of the 2020 election. Folks, this isn't new. Republicans have always been Joe Guy, Joe America. Always have. It's a myth brought to you by Big Left. Kevin McCarthy, who is the House GOP minority leader, said the election cycle has made one thing perfectly clear. The Republican Party is now the party of the American worker. 2020 election results bear that out. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, he's still only working on one testicle, by the way. He commented that Trump won Zapata County in Texas by a margin of 52-47 in 2020, while in 2016 he lost that to Hillary Clinton 65-32. Which, again, makes you understand now why everyone's talking about election fraud. The numbers don't add up. They just don't. Normally I reserve today's Laffy for the end of the show. Mrs. Hank says, do I reserve anything? Okay, point scored for Mrs. Hank. I'm going to let this next story before break serve as today's Laffy. Okay, AOC has been in the news a lot lately. No, she hasn't made any news. Basically, she's just been glomming onto whatever story she can glom onto, any one that comes through that she thinks is glommable. First of all, she has a new name now. We are no longer going to call her just AOC. Her new name is AOC me. If you remember back to January 6th, which she obviously can't, at least not to the correct sequence of events, as I'm about to reveal, there was an incursion of people into the U.S. Capitol. In the days after that, AOC me called for damn near every single Republican to be banished from Congress. And of course, she then voted to impeach President Trump. Subsequently, remember, she publicly decried the fact that, quote, many members of Congress were in fear of their lives, and also fed us bilge like, we could have lost half of Congress. And then last week, this is where it starts to get weird. Last week, as news came out about GameStop and the stock shorting by the hedge funders, and the subsequent short squeeze put on by a group of Reddit posters, AOC me decried hedge fund managers were colluding and to run them out of the market. Now, here's where it gets really weird. Ted Cruz tweeted out that he agreed with her. AOC me responded with, "You were responsible for almost killing us." That was what she came up with. Then this week, she started off with wanting to take Marjorie Taylor Greene off all House committees. Then doubled down with removing any and all members of Congress who didn't vote to certify the alleged election of AP Biden. Then a few started to question her veracity and her mania. And then she, of course, dropped, it reminded me of when I was sexually assaulted. She dropped that card. She actually dropped that card. Now, and I've been looking several places. It seems that in addition to letting slip that she was aware that something was going to happen, remember she did make note of the fact that she was aware, she had been made aware that something was going to happen. Seems she was a bit too aware. As in, when this took place, folks, AOC wasn't in the Capitol. It's been confirmed she was either in her office or, according to another story, she was in the office of fellow Democrat Representative Katie Porter. Now, for the record, neither of the House office buildings hosting those respective offices had any interlopers, nor were they unguarded. Those office buildings were heavily guarded. So, yes, folks, AOC me. Now, wasn't not only was she not in danger, not only was she not under attack, she wasn't in the Capitol. Yeah, exactly. We're going to take a quick break, as I said. I'm going to get a little bit of water, get a little music going for you. 2 minutes and 13 seconds of the legendary Ennio Morricone's Once Upon a Time in America. Grab some coffee if you want. If you're drinking a beer, grab a beer. If you're drinking wine, pour yourself a glass. If you're doing shots, good luck making it to the end of the show. Be back in 2 minutes, 13 seconds or thereabouts. That is the legendary composer Ennio Morricone with the theme from Once Upon a Time in America, a classic movie. If you watch the 4-hour version, if you watch the American 2.5-hour version, thought the movie sucked, you're right. That version did. Okay, a little poly sports news. But before I give it, if you're listening out there and you want to call in, remember the number, 319-527-6706. If you want to tweet at me, at HPolySports. If you want to email me ever about the show, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. I'll tell you about changes. It'll come to that eventually. I'm looking at starting a little bit of my own website and blog. 1980 is the year I graduated from high school. Mrs. Hank asked. I had to answer. But anyway, I'm going to at some point put that into a website that will be easier. Vito and I talk. I'll probably do it as hankjonesps.com or something. That way I can blog a little bit. You know, there are ways on Blog Talk Radio to have a separate account. Vito has one. Indy Hawk KB has one as a free account. You can actually go in and do your own radio show. You get like free a couple times a while, up to 15 or 30 minutes a day. So I'm going to do a couple of those like I talked about before. Anyway, so if you want to call in, if you want to email, go for it, tweet me, whatever. Our first poly sports item, it seems ESPN's Mr. Woke Jr., Stephen A. Smith, isn't quite as woke as he wants everyone else to be. Now, I call him Mr. Woke Jr. because Mr. Woke of ESPN is still going to always be Michael Wilbon. But anyway, yesterday he was a guest on Larry Wilmore's Black on Air podcast. Stephen A. said he is all for women in leadership positions in sports, but he draws a line. Oh, yes, he does. He thinks it's great, he says. He says, first of all, I love it. I think there's an awful lot of women who are incredibly qualified to do the jobs they're doing. Where I jump off the bandwagon. Way to go, Stephen A. Bandwagon. It's where they try to engage physically. For example, I don't ever want to see a woman boxing a man. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a woman in the UFC fighting a man, even though there are some women out there that will kick the dude's butt. As the article I'm reading says, first of all, what does that have to do with women taking on leadership roles in sports? Exactly, in other words. Why is he so concerned about men fighting women in the – it doesn't happen. They don't have that. Now, yes, there was that celebrity boxing I talked about where Joey Buttafuoco boxed China. And yes, WWE and other wrestling promotions, remember, that's sports entertainment, have had, quote, mixed gender matches. And even in track and field world championships, you had the mixed relays. But you don't have men running against women. You don't have men boxing women, et cetera. Now, Homer Simpson might have had it right when he said, you know, if the Bible's taught us anything, which it hasn't, it's that girls should stick to female sports like foxy boxing and hot oil wrestling and such. I'm joking, folks. But seriously, there is none of that. There's no men fighting women. Now, yes, you do have certain twisted states where a boy can say he's a woman, not be, and then compete. But that's not happening at the professional sports level. It's not. And it's not happening. It's just not. I mean, there has been a transgender in UFC who had had actual surgery, even had hormonal stuff, but pretty much got drummed out because they don't understand the bone density is different. So why is he even saying that? What does that have to do with? Guess what, though? Stephen A. wasn't done. He said, when it comes to fighting, I don't like seeing women involved in that at all. When I think about pugilistic sports, I don't like seeing women involved. I just don't like it. I wouldn't promote legislating laws to prohibit them from doing so, but I don't want to see women punching each other in the face. I don't want to see women fighting in the octagon and stuff like that. That's just me. What an idiot. He just literally took himself. He is ESPN's, one of their UFC casters. I can't imagine that Dana White is going to allow him to be around for anything more. I really can't. Next couple stories are kind of, one is really sad. It's one I would urge you to go on ESPN's site and read. It's called I'm Meant to Be Alive, How Drew Robinson is Learning to Live. This is a guy. Now, this happened after COVID. It wasn't a direct result of COVID. He would freely admit that. But COVID was a factor, pandemic thing. This guy, he was up and down in the from the minors to the major leagues. His parents had gone through a divorce. He didn't have a sense of himself. And so what happened was last year he tried to kill himself. He shot himself. And he somehow survived to the next day, believe it or not. He actually got to the point where he was able to get up. He'd have gone into – he couldn't brush his teeth. He lost his right eye. But he literally was able to use his phone and call 911 and save himself. And he's being a spokesperson now with, I believe, the San Francisco Giants. He – is speaking out on how, you know, mental health is an issue and we need to, you know, to be able to speak out on this. Now, the next story is a little shorter, but it's more to the point. I talked about last year just before the playoffs, Andrelton Simmons, I believe his name. Yeah, Andrelton Simmons. He opted out the last week of the season. Now, he plays for the Angels. They were not out of it yet. I think he plays for the Angels. I'm pretty sure it's the Angels. Yeah, he was with the Angels, and they were not out of it yet. Now, it was slim to none that they were going to make it, but they were not telling, you know, actually out of it. He said, the idea of finishing the season in the bubble was too much for him to handle. He said it's still difficult for him to directly articulate certain things, but the thought, after all that had gone on with COVID, the thought of him living in the bubble, he said mentally the thought of suicide crossed his mind. And he said it was something he vowed a long time ago he would never consider it again. He was fortunate to talk to a therapist, which helped him let go of those thoughts. But he said at the end, when a lot of people were still going through what they think of as tough times, the idea of finishing the season in the bubble led him to those thoughts. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, one, as I said, you have to be able to talk about this stuff. But it points out what else has gone on during COVID. I'm going to bring in Brother Tommy in a second. He's gotten some numbers for me. But what we're going to talk about is what the effect of all this stuff has had and where I'm going with that. Remember, you know, they was all the promises of $2,000 checks and this and that. And, you know, we had all these closures. Well, you know, there's a couple things that have happened. One, they have, you know, blue states have suddenly started opening up restaurants and bars and other businesses. Suddenly. Now, remember, they were following the science. So if they were following the science, what science were they following? Why do I say that? January brought us the record for number of COVID cases in the United States and the number of COVID deaths in the United States. Now, the numbers, you know, the survivability rates, the mortality rates are still low, but the numbers were higher. So if they're going to say, well, don't forget, we got the vaccine. What's the first thing they told us about the vaccine? You're still going to have to wear a mask for a while yet afterward. Right? I said that. What else? What else do we know? The vaccine isn't exactly, you know, we've already heard of people that have had some problems. Not everyone, but some people that have had problems. In other words, we don't know the total efficacy of the vaccine. My friend Rich that was on a couple of weeks ago flat out talked about that. The normal period for vaccination is 5 years. This has been done in less than a year. Unless, of course, they were already working on it. Think about that for those that want to talk about the full pandemic theory. But in the meantime, one of the things that one of Big Left let slip was that, well, you know, we don't have to go as big on the relief because, you know, with businesses being allowed to open back up, the economy is going to improve on its own. Now think about that. Think about that a second. They're following science now that flies directly in the face of the science they said they were following all along. In the meantime, people have lost businesses. People have lost jobs. People have committed suicide. So Brother Tommy did a little research on that, so I'm going to bring him in. Brother Tommy, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Can you hear me?
I still don't have your song loaded yet, but I'll get it loaded, and we'll debut it in a couple weeks.
Is this Hank?
Of course it's Hank. Well,
okay. It sound like you. No, the only reason I have a little bit of research is one of the side effects of COVID is, and I'm not sure, I don't know mental health, but I had, and you know him, you saw him at my wedding, buddy that committed suicide, I think last month, thereabouts, and
his brother,
he committed
his brother.
Suicide. What's that?
It was his
Can
brother,
you hear me?
Correct? Yeah, it was his brother, correct?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, I phrased it wrong. One of my friend's brothers committed suicide. So I did a little research, and this is what I came up with. In 2019, February and March, 2,000 calls for opiate-related incidents. This year, it's 5,000. And I'm not talking a year. I'm talking a week. And people don't realize, I think anyways, people don't realize the negative effects of all the shutdowns and all the bullshit. But also other research, calls for mental and behavioral problems from 35,000 to 45,000. People say to themselves, that's not a big number, but if you know statistics, that's a huge number. That's a number that should be in a decade.
That's an increase of almost 33%.
Yeah, that's a decade increase, not a year increase. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm just amplifying your statement earlier. It's just huge. It's a problem. How do we solve it? I don't know. I don't particularly believe, and I don't want to get too political on your show, that this administration has a freaking clue how to solve it, but I don't know how to solve it. But I'm telling you, I looked at the numbers and they're staggering. Now, I cannot get the suicide rate, which you're probably not going to be able to get until probably 6 more months and all of that, but I guarantee you it's through the roof. Now, I have heard, I listened to Dr. Drew, I listened to Michael Savage. All right, you might dismiss either one of those, but the bottom line is they're both scientists, and they say it's through the roof. It's through the roof. So, you know, my only point is it's a serious situation. People don't realize it, but it's serious.
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head when you said this administration has no clue. Because remember something
else.
Well,
this administration has no clue. But you know what? It doesn't hit you on the head until you have a friend whose brother or relative, or until you know someone that commits suicide. And there again, might have been mentally unstable in the first place, but he was a very bright guy. I'm talking about a radiologist. I don't know. I've never researched that, but they got to make $100,000 a year. So someone has all the economic means in the world, and when they commit suicide, that's what makes you second-guess things in life. That's my only theory.
Absolutely. Well, but think about this, for instance. You know,
right.
We heard for the whole campaign cycle that, you know, Biden was going to get this under control. What's the one of the things he just said recently? We don't really have any way to control the arc of this thing. Now, he's been telling us for the last year that they were going to get this under control.
And his whole campaign was based on, I'm going to change it. And then he comes out the other day, and I don't listen to the news anymore, but I do for like 10 minutes because I have a wife that insists on watching the news. And he said, there's nothing we can do. The whole freaking campaign was based on what you can do. Then again, are we really shocked that politicians are lying? You know,
he assailed President Trump's handling of it. And they lied about things of that too. They said he never did it. Remember when he called for the initial travel ban, they literally called him a racist, a xenophobe, panicky, et cetera. What's her name? Plastic Pelosi went to Chinatown and said, "We're here and it's just wonderful. Come on down." Vito says in the chat room, come on, man.
Because between Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer, you're never going to get a defendant out of me. I mean, I think they're all so out of their gourds. It's ridiculous. You know what? It's so easy to have millions in your bank and talk that big social game. But you know what? It doesn't translate to the modern person. Well, maybe it does because they won. But I do actually say it's a fair election. You said earlier you think it was rigged or whatever, and that's your prerogative. But I think it was a fair election because I think I said it last week on your show or 2 weeks ago, the masses are asses in my book. And it's ridiculous to me, but I just hate it when I hear people like, and I don't mind him, but people like Bernie Sanders, who own 3 homes, saying we need socialism. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can say that with 3 homes. That's quite easy. You know, yeah. it's just bullshit. And I don't mean to swear in your show, but it's ridiculous to me.
As Indy Hawk pointed out, he actually said he was going to shut down the virus. You know, I mean,
yeah, I did not know that.
I mentioned earlier, I said, you know, get the Epic Times and call your congressman about, you know, the big tech, so to speak, and what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you on that one. Don't waste your time calling your congressman, guys. It's too late.
I think you have to do it. That's the only way.
Conflicting reports, and you and I have talked on a personal level where you said, well, if you're giving up, we're really in trouble. And you're probably right there. You're probably right. But to me, it's just a waste of time. It is not. What no one understands, or most don't understand, it is, and I agree with everything he says. I hate the way he says it, but Sean Hannity's right. The shadow government is what controls everything, and it's a waste of time. And Schumer even said it publicly. If you're going to fight the CIA and intelligence agencies, you being Donald Trump, you're going to lose. And he did lose. And I just think, you know, Washington, D.C., I think it's 94%, and I don't think that's an exaggeration, votes Democrat. Well, think about it for a second. So they're all in government, basically, and they're the ones that control. So, you know, to me, I think I've said it before on this show, I'll never vote again. But you're right. Hopefully I'll kind of calm down and maybe reestablish my mental framework. Yeah. To me, it's freaking nuts. I cannot believe. That's why I don't watch the news anymore. I can't believe it. I put it on for 10 minutes this morning. I could not believe what I heard. I just turned it off. I'm like, I cannot believe this. And, yeah, that's just where we're going.
Vito says you nailed it on the head, the government party. It's not the Republican and Democrat party. It's the government party.
And Vito's absolutely right. It back channels a whole bunch of words. I don't want to confuse your audience, but a whole bunch of words to describe it. And it's ugly. It's awful. I'll tell you what. Cliche as hell, Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan had drinks together. They don't do that anymore. Now, it's just so...
I'm not allowed to swear on your show, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's so fucking disgusting. Would you go have drinks with Schumer or Pelosi or Nadler?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think
even if they were paying,
I was a lot younger. I'm 55 now. Tip O'Neill would have been 80, so I would have been 20s. I have a cold one with Tip O'Neill. Hell, I've lowered the bar so much, I'd have a cold one with Barack Obama. But Pelosi or Schumer? Are you kidding me? I wouldn't
They would need a restraining order. You just dropped two steps in my book saying you'd have a beer with Obama.
No, I'm doing it relatively. I'm saying I'm dropping the bar.
Okay.
Compared to Schumer and Pelosi. Characters in politics.
I think Barack Obama, unfortunately, is moving a lot of what is moving behind that those scenes. So, you know, it's just kind of.
But at least he kind of in a weird way admits he's fraudulent. The other two are fraudulent. Schumer and Pelosi, they're fraudulent, but they pretend they're not. Obama,
true.
If you really read between the lines, he kind of says, "Yeah, I'm a fucking fraud." Excuse my language. But the other two don't, and that's what pisses me off. Schumer's one of my most hated people of all time when it comes to politics. And here again, I'm not going Democrat, Republican. There's Democrats I like. Well, okay, I just openly lied because there's not. I have friends. Yeah, my wife just reminded me I have friends that are Democrats that I like, but they know better not to get into a verbal battle with me. But, Schumer, I think, is my most hated. Pelosi's right there, and I absolutely hate Biden. But then again, in their defense, theirs being the Democrats, I have more – I have different views. So, of course, I'm going to hate them. But I didn't hate – I was young, but I didn't hate Carter. And revisit the Obama thing. Yes, I hated him, but not as much as the others. How's that?
Yeah. I mean, it makes you – when you suddenly have respect for Bill Clinton, you know that bar has been just –
And you start respecting Barney Frank. That's when you know you've lowered the bar.
Yeah, that's when the elevator cable's blown, so to speak. So,
that's what I'm doing right now with politics. I'm not involved in it anymore. I told you, I've said it on the show. I don't follow politics anymore. But when you say, Jesus, I wish Barney Frank was president. You got to admit to yourself, hey, dummy, you lowered the bar.
You're like that guy in Night Shift. You're like in Night Shift when he says, I've gone as low as I can go. And then that guy gives a little kiss and he goes, I was wrong. That's what it's like.
It's disgusting. I swear to God, this is no joke, Frank. Hank. I put on the news for the first time in ages for 10 minutes this morning, and I'm like, oh, shit, what the fuck is this world coming to? And I've just been, ever since I woke up at 4:30, the Fox and Friends early show, whatever it's called, and I'm like, oh, my God, I just lowered the bar. I'm like, please, people, make it bad, but don't make it awful. But that's what they're going to do. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you, right now, 31,000 or thereabouts, Dow Jones. Guarantee it's going to be 18,000 within 6 months. And people don't get that. They will soon get it. But no, you just lower the bar. It's a tolerance level. I have a deal across the street. Now, as you know, and I've said on the show before, and I make no apologies for it. Well, I make apologies, but I don't have any problem admitting it. As you know, I drink too much. I talked to my neighbor across the street, and she literally says, which I do not do, she said she knows no one that doesn't take antidepressants anymore. her whole family, everyone she knows.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a troubling time. It's kind of a troubling time.
Yeah, we're
so,
over-medicated.
You know, I guess you do what you got to do, and that's why I will not be watching Fox News tomorrow morning. I'm sorry. It's just too troubling. Everything I hear, I'm like, how freaking – it's not even dumb. You know what it is?
Yeah.
People don't realize it. It's not dumb. It's greed. It's greed.
Yeah.
They got the political action committees. They get money. They get backdoor money. They get they go into Congress with the $50,000 net worth. Warriors come out with a half a or $5 billion net worth.
Government is now our fastest growing industry, and it's the new aristocracy. I mean, it's that's how pathetic it's gotten.
What is the fastest growing? I missed that.
Government is the is now our country's fastest growing industry, and it's the new aristocracy, and it's pathetic. It's sick. So hey, I gotta close the show out. So let me run.
Thanks for being
on, and thanks for the numbers.
No problem at all. You got it. We'll talk to you in a bit.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye bye.
So there you have it, folks. 2,000 per week of opioid issues a year ago, and now 5,000 a week. 35,000 a week for mental health issues calls, and now 45,000 a week. Yeah, 33% increase. And that's COVID, and that's what these people have done. So he says no, but I'm telling you this. Write your congressman, write your senator, and say, look, this was avoidable. This didn't have to be shut down. People have lost businesses. People have lost loved ones. People have lost their lives. People have taken their own lives. People have lost everything they have. They've lost their jobs. Why? Because it wasn't following the science. We know that now. They say they did, but we know they weren't following the science. They did this to break us. They did this to steal an election. So ask. And you know what? Hold them accountable. Find out why they did. If they fire back something stupid, call them on it. Make it public. You get a letter from your congressman back or an email, put it on Facebook. Do it. Well, we're out of time, folks, but I want to thank everyone for being here. Brother Tommy, Hawkeye Mike, Sue from New Mexico, Big Sis on the line, Indy Hawk, KB, Vito, and Eric was here for a bit in the chat. Thank you all for being here. Have a great week. And, of course, as always, thank you to Mrs. Hank for keeping things real here in Electric Hankland. Bye-bye.